Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Brian E. Roach.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. Not that you might recognize me at this point. It's been a while since I did a video version of the podcast, and I don't look the same as I did back then. So anyway, it's me, Brian Roach, the host who, you know, doesn't like some things. I'm not going to go into all that again because I don't need to start. I got my mohawk going. I got my Steelers shirt on. I'm ready to go. This is, I don't want to call it a rebuttal because, you know, as much as I argue with Joe sometimes, although we pretty much usually agree on things, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to see eye to eye on this 53-man roster thing. So, you know, last week, the end of the week, Joe and I had tried to get together to do our 53-man roster podcast. Joe got his version up on Friday, but I was unavailable didn't quite work out. But it's time to go. And as he pointed out, it's a good thing for me because now it forces me to go ahead and write it as well. So I actually put, as I say on the blog post or on the article post, I put the virtual pen to the paper and I wrote out, made me think about what I wanted to do for the 53-man roster. You know, it's going to be an interesting season. We've talked about that repeatedly. You know, and Joe made mention the fact that Ben is no longer fat. Guess what? Neither am I. So, you know, I'm taking my cue from the big guy. You know, I'm not going to be fat anymore either. So Ben and I are no longer fat. And, you know, instead, Ben looks good. I mean, he's throwing some tight spirals. He's looking good. You know, the receivers are talking about how he's zipping the ball around. It's all beautiful things. So that's a good sign. You know, at the same time, I'm a little down right at the moment because we just got the news recently that the Big Ten is going to cancel football season for the fall. That means no Bucks, no Ohio State. I can live with that provided I still have Steelers football. Without Steelers football, if I have no Steelers football and I have no Ohio State football, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. But, you know, at least as it stands right now, the NFL season seems to be full speed ahead. It is progressing. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to continue. I don't know whether it's really going to happen or not. But as I mentioned in the article that is going to be posted on the website, I'm trying to be more optimistic. You know, I have this reputation of being the get off my lawn guy, right? The get off my lawn old man, curmudgeon. And I'm old. I'm old. I'm older than I think everybody else at the site. So I'm the senior member of the staff, who's, you know, maybe senior, but not quite senior citizen level yet, but I'm getting there. Anyway, I'm trying to stay positive. So with that in mind, I'm going to assume we are going to have a season that instead we go ahead and why not look at what the roster is going to look like. Now, Joe started on offense. So just to be a jerk, I don't know, just to be, you know, curmudgeonly, I'm going to go and start with the defense. And the reason, part of the reason I'm going to start with the defense is because, damn it, that's where all the grown-ass men are. The grown-ass men are on the defense. I know some of the offensive guys, especially the line, will question that, but I'm starting there. And why not start with the defensive line? So I have the Steelers keeping 7 defensive linemen, and that's the first point of I guess, contention. Joe had us keeping 6. I have us keeping 7. And you may say, 7? Really? Why 7? And one of them is there's no question. It's a question mark, right? It's an iffy thing here. But look, here's the thing. Stephon Tuitt hasn't finished a season injury-free in a while. And when you think about that, and you think about the fact that Tyson Alualu is getting older, Cameron Hayward, the original grown-ass man, is getting older. That means depth, because it means you have to deal with the potential that some of these guys are going to miss some games. And if that's the case, well, now you're talking about keeping some extra bodies. Chris Wormley, they got, you know, picked up from the Ravens. There's no question he's going to make the roster. Tyson Alualu has been an absolute steal and provided absolutely fantastic veteran depth. He'll make the roster. As much as it's unbelievable, Daniel McCullers, Mr. Shade Tree himself, one of the biggest guys that maybe, you know, isn't really a grown-ass man, but a man-child, unless he regresses and you know, he's give him credit. He has made a career of getting by and doing just enough and to make his presence necessary. I think he stays that way. I think Isaiah Bugs can hopefully slide in to Jay Wobble's kind of role, not as a starter. I think Tyson Alualu or Chris Wormley is going to get more of those snaps, especially if they start to play more of a four-man front in some of the sub-packages that they play. The question mark is Carlos Davis. And you know, look, is he ready to go? I don't think he is. Have the Steelers done a good job of taking defensive linemen that they've drafted late in rounds and turning them into guys who have been contributors? Yes, they have. So I'm going to say that I think they keep Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu, Chris Wormley, Dan McCullers, Isaiah Bugs, and Carlos Davis. The one that might not happen is Davis, because you can probably slide him into the practice squad. I don't think he's going to be that highly sought after. But again, if there's any concern that they need bodies, then this is a place I'm putting them. And I'm hoping that he shows enough to earn that roster spot. So that's the defensive line, starting out heavy and hot, right? Seven guys there. Linebackers. Now, Joe said he felt like he was the biggest surprise for him was that they were keeping so few linebackers. Now, I'm only keeping one more than Joe is. I'm keeping nine. I've got four of them on the inside, and let me start there. Devin Bush, obviously, it's not a question. Vince Williams, those are your starters, right? Ulysses Gilbert III, I think, is a guy who potentially takes Vince Williams' role down the road. I don't know that he's going to supplant him this season, but I think he's a guy that shows a lot of promise. And then once you get past those three guys from an inside linebacker view, the cupboard starts to get really bare, and that's why I think Robert Spillane, because he's got some experience, he's been on the team, probably gets the nod and makes the roster, simply because you need bodies. I'm not sure that this is going to be the case. When roster cuts start to come, is there a chance that somebody with more potential than Robert Spillane gets picked up? Absolutely. Absolutely could happen. But as it stands right now, I'm going to deal with the guys that are on the team at the moment. And of the group that's there, I think that's the four inside linebackers you pull in. Bush, Williams, Gilbert, and Spillane. Now, as far as edge rushers go, here's the thing. It's Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt. You know, maybe the best two outside linebackers in the league as a tandem right now. The best two sack masters. Certainly the best pairing we've had in a long time. You know, you might want to say since the heyday of Woodley and James Debo Harrison. But I even say, you know, you're talking about Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd. I mean, that's what you kind of have here in thunder and lightning between these two guys. Dupree's going to be playing again on a contract year, essentially. I'd love to say he's going to get re-signed. I doubt it at this point. He's going to demand too much money, and they're going to break the bank on T.J. Watt. Then you've got Ola and Alex Highsmith, who I think are givens. I think, you know, you don't waste the draft pick on Alex Highsmith if you're not going to keep him. I think Ola, surprisingly enough, Ola is the youngest guy on the roster. And he's got three seasons of experience, or this is his third year of experience. He's the youngest guy on the roster. So, you know, I think you've got to give him some chances, but then that's an issue here. Again, talk about the injury bug. Ola's been injured, and that's why I think they keep a fifth edge guy, and that guy's probably Tuzar Skipper. you know, fan favorite guy who was kind of the camp phenom last year. He, you know, went to the Giants because he makes the roster, then he gets cut or put on the practice squad, then the Giants steal him, and then he comes back. I think he probably makes it and sticks, because not only do you have to worry about injury, but the truth is Bud and TJ take snaps off. They like to stay fresh, and they will take themselves out of the game at any given time if they feel like they need the rest. You know, and so you've got to have enough bodies to keep that rotation going. So you drop one of those and you have a problem. So again, this is more, I think it's more likely that they keep nine, with five of them being edge guys and then the four inside linebackers. Okay, cornerbacks. This is maybe between all the groups, this is one of the easiest. Joe Haden, been playing great. You know, at some point, yes, we expect there to be a drop-off. His age is getting up there, but Joe Hayden's been fantastic for us. I mean, come on, let's be real. And then the glove, Steven Nelson. Yes, we were on his jock, and apparently we should have been on his jock. We might have should have been on his jock even more than we were on his jock, because Steven Nelson was fantastic last season. And there's no reason to expect that to get worse. This is the best group of corners I think the Steelers have had in a very long time. And as a group, when you include everybody that I'm going to mention here, Steven Nelson, Mike Hilton, Cam Sutton, and Justin Lane, and those are the five I expect them to keep, that might be the best group of corners in the league. Yeah, I said it. Go ahead. Come at me. Come at me with your comments. Come at me. Fight me with this. Because taken as a whole, these guys are good, and they're getting better. So, you know, maybe not Haden, but the rest of them are getting better. I think that's where you're at. Is it possible another DB slides in? Only if somebody gets hurt. I just don't see it beyond that. So that's your safeties, or excuse me, your corners. Safeties is next up. Minka, no-brainer. Terrell Edmunds, as much as you don't want it to be a no-brainer, is a no-brainer. I expect Terrell Edmunds to have a good year and improve on the previous seasons. Again, very young, still a little raw, but I think a full year with Minka, a full training camp with Minka, I think you can see some growth with those guys. Now, this is where it starts to get a little unnerving, though. Once you get past Minka and Terrell Edmunds, there's not a lot in this cupboard. Jordan Dangerfield probably makes the roster because Jordan Dangerfield always seems to show up and be around. He's a veteran guy. He's probably not going to be a guy that gets many starter snaps, nor do you want him to. He's a special teams, you know, ace, so to speak, a fixture on special teams. And provides depth, which is what you need. Curtis Riley, who they just signed, probably falls into that same category. He's going to provide depth. He's got a little bit of veteran presence, because after that, now you're talking about Antoine Brooks. Antoine Brooks being a rookie, in my view, he needs some time before he hits the field, either as a safety or as a dimebacker kind of role. But I think Antoine Brooks has a bright future with this team. He could be one of those interchangeable type puzzle pieces where they can use him as, you know, a third linebacker in that dimebacker role, whatever they end up doing. So I think he'll make the squad, I think, almost without question. But I think it's going to be hard to get him significant snaps outside of special teams. And if that's the case, you need the depth. So that's why Jordan Dangerfield and Curtis Riley probably get the nod. So you got five safeties there. So you got five safeties, five corners, that's 10 guys. You got nine linebackers, that's 19 guys. And you got seven defensive linemen. That means I got an overbalance. I got 26 guys staying on defense. May as well talk about the specialists before I get to the offense, because that'll take us up essentially showing that I'm only going to have 24 guys left to spread on the offense. So there's three specialists. Cameron Candidate, he's the long snapper. He's not going anywhere. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he's the guy. I don't even think there's anybody in camp to compete with him. Nor probably should there be. Yes, he had some questionable snaps last year, but not enough to put him in jeopardy. Chris Boswell, great bounce back season. He's back to being the Wizard of Boz. He's back to being money. But, you know, I've said this a million times before. I'll say it a million times again. If you use your foot as your primary interaction with the football, you are always on the fence, my friends. Your future is never guaranteed. Chris Boswell, if he goes south, as kickers sometimes do, he'll get replaced. But for right now, he's your guy. And as much as people want to hate on Jordan Berry, I get it. Look, Jordan Berry's not the greatest punter in the world. But here's the thing about Jordan Berry. He's got a very good percentage of getting his punts down inside the 20. He's been pretty consistent and good at that. Yes, he shanks some punts every now and then. But the truth is, the guy that they have in there, Corliss Waitman, I just don't think he's going to have the opportunity to supplant a veteran guy like Berry. You know, he doesn't have a resume, and unless every opportunity he gets to punt the ball is a punt that makes everybody go, wow, he's not going to supplant a veteran. I just don't see it happening. So, candidate. All right, let's move over to the offensive side of the ball, and let's talk quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is your starter. Thank God Ben Roethlisberger is your starter. He's looking slim. He's looking trim. I feel it. I'm looking that way. You can fight me on that too, but I feel that way. There's no question that this is Ben's team. It's remaining Ben's team, and as long as he's healthy, he's your guy. And let's keep it that way, knock on wood. Beyond Ben, all right, you got three. I think they did cut JT Barrett not that long ago, so really you got, what, three quarterbacks on the roster outside of Ben. Mason Rudolph, Paxton Lynch, and Devlin Hodges. Here's the thing. After Ben, as he essentially takes up the role of the primary backup position, I think it's Mason's job to lose, without a doubt. I mean, as long as Mason performs consistently, as long as he does not come into camp and look like an idiot, he's going to be the backup. And while, you know, if you listen to us, I'm not a huge Mason Rudolph fan, right? I'm not ultra high on Mason as the future. But what I do believe is that Mason Rudolph has the ability to be a adequate or even a better than average backup quarterback, a guy who can come in, get you out of a game with a win, maybe win you a game or two until you get your starter back. I don't believe Mason Rudolph's the future, and I have yet to see anything that makes me change that opinion. But I think he's, for what his role is right now, I think he's perfectly suited for that as a backup quarterback. Then there's the third quarterback. This is where it starts to get iffy. So there's a double-sided blade to experience, right? I've got experience with you. You've got experience with me. And, you know, Devlin Duck Hodges, Duck, he got experience last season. That's on the plus side. Or maybe it's not. Because what I think the experience of having Devlin Hodges in the game is that you learned what he cannot do. And what he cannot do is a lot. There's a big section of the field that he simply is not equipped to throw to. And it does, you know, the coaches wouldn't call those plays. He wouldn't throw those balls. And on the times when he did, it never went well. Look, I like Devlin Hodges. I love the story. It's fantastic. But he's got a lot of holes in his game and a lot of limitations on what he can bring to the team. And if we get down to the third quarterback, you and we all agree we're in deep trouble anyway. But I think it's reasonable to say that a first-round pedigreed guy like Paxton Lynch, who's probably on his last leg, this is probably Paxton Lynch's last opportunity to make a squad and get himself into the conversation as far as an NFL career goes. And I think that there's a better chance that he can seize that because I think he probably has more talent than Devlin Hodges does. Whether that, you know, makes itself known, whether he even has the opportunity is a question mark. I'm going to be honest and say I think Hodges has the inside track at this third position, this third quarterback position. He probably starts out as that guy. But I think it's not unreasonable to hope that Paxton Lynch can be better than that. And to see if he can take over that third spot. I think he might be able to. I have him on the 53 over Devlin simply because it was a toss-up to me. Did I see enough from Paxton Lynch to ever think, okay, great, he's good enough? No. But I saw enough from Duck Hodges to know he's not. So that's why. Now, here's the bottom line. The practice squad is increased to 16 players. Whichever one of these guys doesn't make the team likely gets a spot on the practice squad because you cannot understate the fact that if something does go wrong, you're going to need somebody with some experience. Duck at least has that experience. Paxton Lynch has the pedigree. See what happens. I think both guys stick around one way or the other, but only one of them ends up on the roster, and I flipped it to Paxton Lynch. So, running backs. Next up. Why not stop with the low-hanging fruit here? So the low-hanging fruit is Derek Watt. Derek Watt's going to make the team. He's the only fullback that I think is on the roster, and they just paid him a good amount of money to come in and be a fullback. He makes the squad. He's a running back, a fullback nonetheless, but, you know, a running back. So he'll be in there and he'll make that team. There's no question in my mind about that. I think James Conner is about as close to a no-brainer as you can get outside of Derek Watt. Look, remember, it wasn't that long ago that James Conner was a Pro Bowler, right? James Conner is a good running back. I have stated repeatedly, I still think this is his last year as a Steeler. And I think that's still true. Barring, you know, some kind of a major discount in contract negotiations, barring a really monster season, in which case I still think he's probably, this is the last season because they won't be able to pay him or they won't choose to pay him what he could get on the open market if he has a monster year. I think James Conner is definitely your starter and definitely makes the roster. And at some point, definitely gets hurt. I mean, I don't want him to get hurt. I don't wish anything ill on James Conner. I love James Conner. I like the way he plays. I love his burst. I don't love that he seems to get hurt every year. And I don't see a reason to think that trend will not continue with the style of play he has. But we'll see. So I think he makes the roster. Benny Snell and McFarland, you know, look. Anthony McFarland, Benny Snell, they're going to make the roster as well. That takes us up to four running backs. The Steelers very rarely carry five running backs. But here's the thing about Snell. He didn't show enough, in my opinion, to take over the starting role from Conner or even to take a lion's share of that role. I don't think so. But did he do enough to warrant another season? Sure he did. Of course he did. He's still on his rookie contract. He showed that he has something to offer. And you know, Anthony McFarland, he's a rookie. And again, we've said this many times as well. He's the only guy like him, right, on the roster. Anthony McFarland is the Willie Parker guy in this room. He's the only guy like that in this room. He's the home run hitter. They're going to get an opportunity to see if he can provide that kind of explosiveness to this offense. So he's going to be there. But look, he may not get a helmet during the first part of the season. He may be an inactive guy on the roster early on until he gets acclimated and they can use him. Now, that brings us down to another running back, Jalen Samuels. I have him making the roster. There's a lot of folks out there who thinks he won't make the roster. Somebody, I don't remember who, don't ask me, and I don't want to particularly, running back shame anyone out there, had Kareth White making it over Jalen Samuels. That's not going to happen. I don't think so. Sorry. Look, Samuels is a question mark to me. Five running backs is a considerable load of running backs to keep on the roster. I don't know that Jalen Samuels could slide onto the practice squad. Another team could pick him up as a backup. So I think he kind of has to be on the roster. It's not that he's not practice squad eligible. I think he is. But I don't think he makes it there. So if you want him on your team, he probably has to stay on the roster. And I think it's also very likely that with the addition of Matt Canada and what he brings to the offense, pardon me, I need to have some refreshment, that I think they want to see what they can do with Jalen Samuels. Maybe we haven't seen Jalen Samuels' ceiling. I think we kind of did last season, and I don't think it's a ceiling that's all that high. So I kind of have him sitting on the bubble, so to speak. He could be cut if there's a push someplace else and there's a much greater need somewhere else. But right now I have him making the list and making the roster. He could flip with a wide receiver, as we're going to talk about next, if the situation is right. But because he's kind of that flexible player, he's a jack of all trades, you can line him up in a whole bunch of different places. It gives him that versatility that Mike Tomlin likes. So I think that there's a good chance he still sticks around. But I can't undersell this. I think he's on the edge, and we'll see what happens. So that's five running backs. So five running backs and three quarterbacks, that's eight guys on offense. Let's do the offensive line next before we get into the receivers. Five of them are easy. Alejandro Villanueva. It's interesting. David DeCastro did a Zoom meeting during this week early on where he talked about the fact that this is an aged offensive line. They're getting older. And that Alejandro Big Al is probably closer to the end of his career than the beginning. I've been saying that for 2 years. Look, story's fantastic. I think he's a very capable and good offensive tackle. I love Alejandro Villanueva. I've got the Alejandro Villanueva obligatory full-size signed helmet sitting over there. I don't have anything bad to say about Alejandro Villanueva other than he's not as good as people think he is. He made the Pro Bowl, didn't deserve to be a Pro Bowler. I'm just telling you. He's not bad, but he's a second-tier offensive tackle, not an elite offensive tackle. And now he's an older second-tier offensive tackle. So, yes, he's probably getting closer to the end of his career. Pouncey's Pouncey, right? Look, Marquise Pouncey is still, I think, one of the better centers in the league. Not top five, but probably top 10. Again, it's the same thing. He's getting older, though. So, you got to start to look at that as well. Even David DeCastro is getting older. Still, probably one of the best guards in the league. Those three guys are given. They're going to make the squad. Matt Filer is going to make the squad. Whether he plays guard, whether he plays tackle, that's still up in the air. Chukwu Okorafor, probably going to make the squad. I have him making the squad. Could be battling for that tackle position. If he takes over that tackle position, I think, as the professor of football, Zach Meckler, has said, and as I've said as well, I think if that happens, if Okorafor can take over that right tackle position, it slides Filer into the guard position where Ramon Foster used to play. And that means you got a guy like Stefan Wisniewski, I don't know. You know how I am with names. Who becomes the primary backup, the B.J. Finney of this group. A guy who can play center if needed, a guy who can play guard if needed. And Zach Banner becomes your swing tackle. Now, that's seven guys. The eighth guy, I think, is Kevin Dotson. Kevin Dotson can be a guy who grows. Normally, the Steelers keep nine linemen. The question is Derwin Gray. I don't know that Derwin Gray is ready or has shown enough to make him a target for somebody else to keep on their 53-man roster. Remember, if they sign somebody off the practice squad, they have to give them a roster spot. I don't know that Derwin Gray is worth that risk. Fred Johnson, that's what the Bengals did last year. We all liked Fred Johnson. We wanted him on the roster, and he got poached, right? If Derwin Gray gets poached, A, I'm not sure how upset you are. But B, I don't know that somebody's going to expend a roster spot for him unless they're in absolutely desperate straits, which happens often with offensive linemen, I admit. And this is another one of those guys. He's right on the fringe. It could be Derwin Gray that stays and Jalen Samuels goes. It could be Derwin Gray that stays and Tazar Skipper goes. Some of these guys that I have on the edge, it's questionable. I just don't know that Gray has shown enough to make the Steelers feel that they can't get him onto the practice squad. So if that's the case and you have greater need elsewhere, then that's what you do. So I have them keeping Villanueva, Wisniewski, Pouncey, DeCastro, Filer, Okorafor, Banner, and Dotson. So that's 8 offensive linemen. Tight ends. For the first two positions here, there's not really any question. It's Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. Those are going to be the guys you see on the field 90% of the snaps. Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. Unless one of them gets hurt, those are your tight ends, right? Those are the guys. The real question is who's going to be in that third spot. Is it going to be Zach Gentry, the guy they spent a draft pick on? Or is it going to be somebody else? Well, they signed this guy from, I think, the Bears, Dax Raymond. And that's who I actually have sliding in. And here's the reason. I think Dax Raymond is more of a blocker, more of the traditional kind of tight end that they're used to having than Zach Gentry is. I think he has a little bit more junk in his trunk, so to speak. I mean... This is the real downside of not being able to attend training camp. You can't really see. And I just can't get enough tape on Dax Raymond to really give me a great impression. But I think, again, Zach Gentry, I think, can slide onto the practice squad. I don't know that anybody's going to go out of their way to give him a roster spot. And if that's the case, maybe you put Dax Raymond on the squad. I have him making it over Gentry. I am free to admit it could flip the other way. So that's your tight ends, 3. There's no way they're keeping more than 3 tight ends. It's just not going to happen. Now, if you've been doing the math going along, you'll know that means I only got 5 spots left for wide receivers. 5 spots. A lot of people have them keeping 6. I have them keeping 5. So who are those 5? Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Deontay Johnson, and Chase Claypool. Those are all givens, right? Juju, James Washington, and Deontay are going to be your 3 primary guys. There's no way that that's not the case. That's just what's going to happen. Chase Claypool, second round pick, I think makes the squad. Now, Joe made the argument, and I don't disagree with him, that the question with Chase Claypool is how soon can he get on the field and contribute? I said at the beginning of this, I'm going to try and be optimistic. So my optimism is that, yes, he's going to pick things up quickly, and he's going to be able to make an impact right away, especially out of the slot. And if that is in fact the case, then hallelujah, it will spell the end of the Ryan Switzer experiment, in my view. Look, I didn't think Switzer needed to be on the team last year. I think Brian Switzer is a great human being, a wonderful guy. I think he is a receiver who has some talent. I don't think he has enough talent, and I don't think he has shown enough of anything to earn a roster spot on this team, despite the Ben Roethlisberger friendship impact that look, let's be realistic. Ben's your buddy. You got a better shot, right? I keep saying it all the time again. I'm tired of watching Ryan Switzer run around in circles for 10 minutes to gain 2 yards. I can't. I'm tired of a stiff wind knocking him on his butt. I can't anymore. Ryan Switzer cannot make this roster. and look, admittedly, if he makes the roster as a 6 receiver, as our good friend Zach Adonia has said out in the Twitterverse, I can live with that. The problem is I don't think they need 6 receivers, and I think they need other things more. So I don't see Ryan Switzer making this team. Instead of Ryan Switzer, I see Deion Kane. Deion Kane kind of took over that gunner type role, that Johnny Holton stretched the field type role, and maybe has a better chance of actually catching the ball than Johnny Holton did. Well, how can I not? I can't remember his name. You know, it stinks getting old sometimes. You know, the wide receiver that we had a few years ago, who was a top 10 pick from the Raiders, who I'm trying to recall his name, that, you know, couldn't catch. Darius. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even have to look it up. It came to me. Darius Heyward Bey. I feel vindicated that I could pull it out of the data banks. Darius Heyward Bey couldn't catch a cold. But, you know, made a career out of being a backup and being a gunner. So he, you know, I think Deion Kane can take that kind of a role and maybe has a better chance of catching the ball. Look, this is all predicated on, of course, Chase Claypool being able to contribute early. And injuries always throw a monkey wrench into this. And as to who's going to end up on the practice squad, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. It's nice to have those six extra spots because it means that guys that you were on the fringe about, you know, maybe can still hang around. It also means that in my mind, you can go both ways with this, but in my mind, it means there's less of a likelihood that people poach your practice squad. And the reason I say that is because everybody's got an extra six guys, right? So unless you get hit heavily with the injury bug in one specific position, you've probably got a better shot at having a guy on your roster who you're familiar with, who you like, and who you wanted to keep around than you did in years past where you now have to go try and poach that guy from somebody else's practice squad and give up a roster spot with it. I think that could be the case, that we will see less poaching as the season goes on. Who knows? So that's where I kind of have things in my view. And you can see how, you know, between Joe's podcast, which was about 31 minutes, I obviously talk more than Joe because I'm long-winded. Mine is going to be, you know, maybe somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes. I don't know. I'm not paying that much attention. We would have had our 1 hour podcast in for you guys. So that's what I think. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know what you think of the do, you know, how's the mohawk look? Is it all right? It's all right. You know, I feel bad. I feel like I it wasn't me, by the way. It was the Stratosphere Hotel that let everybody down. I feel bad that we didn't get video of me jumping off the Stratosphere because it was closed when I went. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to jump off that damn hotel. And when I do jump off that damn hotel, you're going to get to see it. So I think that does about wrap it up for this version of the podcast. Until next time, you know, my name's Brian. And as I always like to say, it's chaos out there. So be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.